Let's turn to page 113. This is chapter 2, verse number 40. Kindly repeat after me. We can go word by word actually. Neha Abhikrama Nashah Asti Neha Bikrama Nashosti Pratya Vayo Na Vidyate Pratyavayo na vidyate Svalpam Api Asya Dharmasya Svalpam apyasya dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat Trayate Mahato Bhayat Neha Bikrama Nashosti Pratyavayo Navidyate Svalpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. Does anybody in the audience want to repeat? Neha Vikrama Nashosti
Pratyavayo na vidyate
Pratyavayo na vidyate
Svalpam api asya dharmasya
Svalpam apyasya dharmasya
Trayate mahato bhayat
Trayate mahato bhayat
Neha Vikrama Nashosti
Neha Vikrama Nashosti Pratyavayo na vidyate Svalpam apyasya dharmasya Trayate mahato bhayat Neha vikrama nashosti Pratyavayo na vidyate Svalpam apyasya dharmasya Trayate mahato bhayat Neha vikrama nashosti Pratyavayo na vidyate Svalpam apyasya dharmasya Trayate mahato bhayat Na, not. Sorry, there is not. Iha, in this yoga, abhikrama, in endeavoring, nashaha, loss, asti, there is, pratyavayaha, diminution, na, never, vidyate, there is, sualpam, a little, Api, although, asya, of this, dharmasya, occupation, trayate, releases, mahataha, from very great, bhayat, danger. Kindly repeat after me. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path. Can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Activity in Krishna consciousness or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification is the highest transcendental quality of work. Even a small beginning of such activity finds no impediment. Nor can that small beginning be lost at any stage. Any work begin on the material plane has to be completed, otherwise the whole attempt becomes a failure. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect, even though not finished. The performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. One person done in Krishna consciousness bears permanent result, so that the next beginning is from the point of 2%, whereas material activity without 100% success, there is no profit. Ajamil performed his duty in some percentage of Krishna consciousness, but the result he enjoyed at the end was 100% by the grace of the Lord. There is a nice verse in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:5:17. Tyaktva svadharmam charanambujam harer bhajan apakvotapate tato yadi yatrakva vabhadram abhud amushyakim kovarta apto bhajatam svadharmataha. If someone gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? And what can one gain if one performs his material activities perfectly? Or as the Christians say, what profiteth a man if he gains the whole world, yet suffers the loss of his eternal soul? Material activities and their results end with the body. But work in Krishna consciousness carries a person again to Krishna consciousness, even after the loss of the body. At least one is sure to have a chance in the next life of being born again as human being, either in the family of a great cultured Brahmana or in the rich aristocratic family that will give one further chance for elevation. That is the unique quality of work done in Krishna consciousness. We'll recite some prayers and we'll start. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Spiritual life can be sometimes intimidating, because it's a question of faith. If I follow this path, will I be happy? If I give some sort of my position, will it bear fruit? Because usually if there is some sort of donation, you would like to know if my donation is it worth it? And so a spiritual life is a matter of faith. But that faith if it is sincere, if one is sincere, then God directs that faith in the proper channels. In the material world, there is a tendency of cheaters and cheated. The cheaters want a quick money or a fame or reputation for their spiritual, so-called spiritual prowess or spiritual strength. And the cheated, they just want something real quick without undergoing any sort of regulative stuff. So when it comes to actually understanding spiritual life, there is a sense of a sacrifice or a sense of faith through which one tries to proceed ahead in spiritual life. But if that spiritual life is towards the meaningful and a genuine way of understanding God, then Krishna himself says here in Gita that if you perform even a little bit of that activity, then that activity does not go in vain. The day-to-day activities in the material world, you have to complete it. There is no question of not completing it. For example, you go to somebody and say, here is a half-cooked potato, eat it. Or you go to a boss and say, I completed 50% of the work, the other 50%, it's okay. Or the government says, okay, I laid the freeway from this pain to this point. After that, it's just, you know, gravel road. You just have to use 4x4. No, in material world, it has to be complete. It has to be 100%. Otherwise, anything less than that, it's a failure. It's not completely a success. But the same question one may ask for spiritual life. I don't even know what spiritual life is all about. But if I get into this path, and what if I am not successful? Then I wasted my time in spiritual pursuit, which I could have used for, say, advancing my career or building my business or doing something else. But I am a loser in both the ways, because I didn't achieve perfection in spiritual life. At the same time, all the material pursuits I was planning in a big way, that didn't fructify either. What's your point? The point Krishna says is that your material pursuits, when you do and you achieve 100%, at the time when it comes to give up those things, you have to give up. And there is no value at that point of time. For example, a man may build a very powerful company and make billions of dollars. And personally also, he becomes a billionaire through that process. But when the time of death comes, he says, okay, I'll give you $1 billion. I want 2 more years extra. It's impossible. Because when time comes, one has to give up everything. Even death may seem a little graphic example. But the fact of the matter is that even in the material life as it is, there are cases wherein a person became a pauper from being a billionaire overnight. These reversals and successes, they are part and parcel of material world. So for those who say that I don't have time for spiritual life or I don't have inclination, please understand, even in your regular day pursuits, there is no guarantee of success. Now, who starts a company saying that I'm going to go out of business in 2 years? I'm going to run through all my capital which my venture capitals gave in 2 years' time and I'll be utter flop. Nobody starts with that. Everybody says, I want to build another Oracle or an Apple or a Microsoft. But the fact of the matter is that not all companies and not all individuals are successful on that level. Because the material, the way of this world is like that. But when one invests the same energy, or at least a little portion of that same energy in spiritual life, then that is not lost anywhere. Your investment stays intact. Even though you may think that you have wasted, but your investment in spiritual life, that has not changed. And the good news? It's going to be yours forever. Because everything of this material world, there is no question of guarantee of being with you forever. At the time of death, you have to give up everything. Your house, your job, your family, your even body, which you care for so meticulously throughout your life. So then one question asks is, in this life, what is that I gained? What is that is mine I'm going to take even when I'm not in this world? If a man or a woman who comes to this world asks that question, then one makes real tangible progress in spiritual life. And that is not going anywhere. The other aspect of the life is guarantee. I need some sort of guarantee. You know, if you go to a store, they'll say, you know, take this and you don't like it, you return it back in 30 days, 90 days. You have some sort of guarantee that if you did a mistake or if that product is not working, you get it back. But then Krishna gives you the perfect guarantee. He says, do a little bit, a very little. Even he doesn't say do 100%, do a little bit. And that's not lost anywhere. And what more? It's going to save you from the greatest fear. The greatest fear in this material world is material world and death, loss of finances, a loss of a family member. The material world is really unstable. In that sense, one can never guarantee that I am going to be in this way for this time to come. Nobody can give guarantee. But Krishna says, pursue the spiritual life a little bit. Then that is yours forever. That's not going anywhere. That's the guarantee he gives. And what more guarantee do we need? So when one performs devotional service, just by chanting names of Krishna or by coming to the temple like this and associating, seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, then one is actually raking up his spiritual or his or her spiritual credits. The other aspect of the fearlessness that comes is that somehow everybody goes in the world saying that I am this body. Everything related to this body is mine. And there is a struggle to preserve or to grow what I have. And at the same time, keep my body intact. That's the nature of this world. But Krishna says, you are not that. What you think you are not that. You are something different. And just like if the, maybe in this country that phenomena may not be very applicable, but please hear me out. Actually, in some places where people are not as well off, they use clothes till the clothes get ripped or till the clothes get old, and then they have to discard that clothes and buy new one. Nobody is going to lament, oh, my clothes have got ripped or they got old, you know, they got holes in it. Yes, I got, you know, I can get a new clothes. So similarly, Krishna says that the body you have is just like a clothes you wear. Today you have that, tomorrow you don't. But even though you change clothes, you, that person within that clothes, do not change. Because you wear some different color clothes, people don't identify you differently. They still call you by the same name. Similarly, the spirit soul, which is there in the body, can take on many, many forms. And they are like clothes which are covering the body. Though the body is taking birth and death and taking birth and death and repeatedly, the soul within the body never changes. This fact that I am not this body, this is such a great relief. Otherwise, the biggest fear is fear of death. And more importantly than fear of death, fear of unknown. What will happen after? But Krishna says, perform a little bit of devotional service and your path is guaranteed. Even after this life, the next life, it is guaranteed that you pick up from where you started. And the good news is that you have to be at least a human being in the next life to start. And You should understand that we have so many species of life. There are birds, yes, there are insects, there are animals, there are trees. And based on one's mentality, one can get a body in either of these forms. You can become a dog, you can become a cat, you can become a human being. We don't know. How do we say that for a fact? Now, we all took birth in this world. Can anybody say here, sitting here, we haven't taken birth? Right. So, did we get a menu card when we took birth? Check which country you want to be born. US. White or black? White. Rich or poor? Rich. Nobody gives a menu card. You are just born. You are born in a certain family, at a certain location, at a certain time. That is because our past activities which we performed has produced this body. And then in this body, again we perform some activities, again take on next body. So in this way, the cycle of birth and death repeatedly goes on. What we have this life or this lifespan is probably like a microsecond when compared to like billion light years. That much fraction we have. So this journey of life that keeps on going, then one might question, dude, you are like, you know, putting all the negative spin on this, you know, it's like you're making the whole thing depressing. But sorry, that's a reality. It's not depressing. The goal is that having known these facts, what can we do with this life that we can escape this sort of fearful existences? That is the whole purpose of human life, is to know where I am, who I am, where am I coming from? What's the purpose in life? Where do I go? Is there any meaning or goal to life, or just, you know, just do whatever comes and then that's it? No, Krishna says in Gita, there is a purpose, there is a goal. And the goal is that the more you are spiritually realized and the more you try to advance on your spiritual goals, the more happier you will be. The other analogy is that if you take a fish out of water, the fish, you can give the fish Rolls-Royce car. You can give the 5-star hotels and the best food. The fish will be miserable. Why? Because its natural position is in water. Similarly, our natural position is that we are eternally related to God or Krishna. And unless that relationship is rediscovered, life seems meaningless. There is no goal of life. Because you should realize one thing. There are people who have ample riches. There are billions of dollars. There are people who are incredibly beautiful, voted, you know, the most beautiful people on the planet or whatever. And there are people who are incredibly powerful. But are these people truly happy? Or is it that even after acquiring all these things, are they missing something that is kind of not giving that complete joy? The answer is yes. Because they are unable to reconnect with their spiritual self, there is no question of joy. Because externally, when we try to be happy, we can be happy to a certain extent. I know a colleague of mine who is very wealthy and who is very rich. And then I asked him, so why are you still working in this job? Why don't you quit? He said, well, money can't give you all happiness. But I said, money can give you all conveniences. Yeah, that's true. The point is that money can give you conveniences, but it doesn't give you that complete fulfillment of happiness that we are seeking. Because we need to rediscover our spiritual nature to be happy. And you know what's the good news? If you rediscover your spiritual nature, you are in the most miserable condition according to the world, yet you are happy. The opposite holds true. You have everything in the world, you don't rediscover or reconnect your spiritual life. Even if you have everything, you are still miserable. And the case in the point is, so many actors, actresses, they have billions of dollars, fame and everything, yet they take so many intoxicating stuff just to forget everything. And the beauty? All the common people want to be like them. It's a fact. We read in newspapers every day about how they just take so many things just to forget. And the common people want to be like them. That's the nature of this world. But actually, one who is spiritually situated, he's the most happy person. Now, please understand, spiritually situated doesn't mean I go and fire off my resignation letter tomorrow and then I just go open my bank account, give everything and go live like a homeless man. That is really not the definition of spiritual life. The spiritual life is that we keep doing our activities, but with a goal that these activities are a means to help me achieve my spiritual ends. That's the whole idea. We go through the journey of life, but our end is different. Just like if you are going in a plane or driving in a car or a bus, you actually don't get attached to bus, do you? You kind of, when the destination comes, you say to the driver, sorry, I'm not going to get it. I like this bus too much. I want to stay in this bus. You know, I want to paint the color of the bus inside nice and then put some windows and put some flower vases. And no, bus was a means to your end. Similarly, our life here is a means to a certain end. And that end, every man or woman has to discover. And you know what's the beauty? We just won a lottery. Every one of us. Because in this human form of life, only can we even start to ask these questions. The animals, they don't care. They don't care if you give them Bhagavad Gita or Prasadam or something like that. They just pass. Because their whole idea is, I need food, I need mate, I need a place to sleep. I'm done. That's my life. I can't think beyond that. But in the human form of life, you really have the capacity to think. And it's like you get a key to unlock the treasures, but that key is going to be there only for like, you know, 15, 20 minutes. So you better get cracking now and then unlock the treasure and go ahead in life. That's the rare human form of life which will help us in the pursuit of our spiritual existence. In the animal form, one doesn't know. Any questions? Comments? Criticisms? No stones, no tomatoes, please. I didn't get my helmet and my bulletproof thing. No bullets also. I don't have the bulletproof vest. Okay. So far, so good. We had, in the early days of the movement, we had Srila Prabhupada come to West. And at that time, many people, they just dropped everything they were doing. They dropped their jobs, in some cases family, in some cases their father's business, whatever it was. And they joined Srila Prabhupada. Now, a few of them still are continuing today, and some of them dropped out, and they kind of completely weaned away themselves from spiritual activities. The fact of the matter is that they did some amount of spiritual life, some amount of life they endeavored in spiritual path. So that's completely to their credit. So they have no loss. There is no question of loss. So that's what Krishna says, Neha Bikramana Shosti Pratyavayana Vidyate Svalpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Vayata. It's 6 o'clock. When should we stop?
Yes, maybe a few minutes maybe.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes of questions and answers.
And just wanted to point out, since you were discussing a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, that there were two very relevant verses in the 6th chapter that talks about this, that someone who has taken on this devotional service in this life, what happens to them in the next one? 641 and 642. Chapter 6, verse 41, where Krishna is saying that the unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living activities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. And then it goes on in the subsequent verse to say, or if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. So for anyone who has done even a little bit of spiritual activity can look forward to a good birth.
Nice. Thank you. So there is no loss. Please, we have guarantee, the best guarantees. Because Krishna gives, not we. He's giving the best guarantee. So in this age, one might question, then what's the practical? Okay, great, you are like, you know, tossing out all this philosophy, excellent. But what is the practical way you can actually pursue spiritual life? And the answer to that is very simple. We chant the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In whenever we can, wherever we can, there is no hard and fast rules for chanting. You can chant while, initially we use beads to chant, but even if that is too much of an endeavor, then you can chant if you are cooking or if you are driving. But somehow or other, if one is connected to the name of Krishna, then one's spiritual life has really taken off. And that is, it's an easy way. You don't have to really pay money or twist your body into like millions of knots just to kind of get some spiritual satisfaction. Or you need not go to Himalayas and then just go freezing in cold, whatever. So it's just a simple process. We do what we do, but then we just chant the names of Krishna. And whenever we get time, highly recommended that you come to the temple and associate with devotees who are like-minded in their pursuit of spiritual life. And then automatically we feel that life is meaningful. There is something in life that is kind of worth living for. Otherwise, without a goal in life, mind is severely disturbed. The human mind is such that it needs a goal. And once it's logged in on a goal, then, you know, there is an impetus to kind of move forward. But more often than not, those goals are kind of somehow in the realm of material existence. If I kind of get $1 billion, I'll be happy. Or if I get into that manager or a director position or a VP position, I'll be happy. Those goals are great, but we find more often than not that people who have already achieved those goals are not very fulfilled or happy. But the spiritual path guarantees that if you lock in your mind on progressing in spiritual life, then guaranteed you'll be happy. There will be a little bit of troubles initially. I won't say that. Because we are used to in such a lifestyle, initially it may be a little of endeavor to actually come to the temple and do certain things. But later on, they become so sweet that you do not want to give it up. And you know for sure that, you know, your heart tells you, yes, this is the path. So, thank you very much for coming. And we'll have Aarti next. And then after that, we'll have Prasadam, which is a dinner feast. Any last, final questions or comments before we...
Just that 1% example, you get a permanent results and you start with 2%.
Right.
Could you give some day-to-day, maybe personal experiences for some of the younger audience to understand how is it permanent?
Sure, sure. Long ago, there was a king called Bharat, or his name was Bharat. And actually, for those who are not familiar with the term, the Sanskrit name for India is Bharat, and then it's called India. Long ago, there was a king, and he decided that, you know, at a mature stage, he said that I'll hand over my kingdom, and I'll give up everything, and then I'll become a spiritually perfect person. Now, he went to the forest, and he gave up everything, his beautiful wife. Just imagine going to Obama and saying, please give up your presidency, you know, resign today and then start, go to forest. He was really able to do that. And then he went to the forest. He was very, very dedicated in his practices, and he was dutifully performing his austerities for spiritual perfection. When one day at his hermitage, a pregnant deer gave birth to a fawn, and she died on the spot. Now, this gentleman thought that I am responsible for that fawn, and he raised that fawn. Unfortunately, he became too attached to that fawn. And in the next life, Krishna says, this is another thing, that whatever you think of in this life at the time of dying, then in the next life that you will be. So if one's mind and consciousness is completely absorbed in certain thing, in next life you will be that. So Maharaj Bharat, his whole consciousness was completely absorbed in the deer, and the next life, guess what? He became a deer. But because he had performed at least 20-30%, we don't know the exact figures here, forgive me, but he performed certain spiritual practices in the next life, even though he was born as a deer, by grace of God he has the memory that I had a valuable opportunity and somehow I didn't completely utilize it. So even though he was a deer, he was having that memory, and after that deer's body, he again became an exalted Brahmana. He took birth in the Brahmana family and he was the famous renowned Chadabharat. So it's never lost. So put it in another way, let's do the logical math. Now, 100% perfection in one life is very, very rare, if not impossible, because of at least in this age. If God doesn't give a guarantee that at least it's preserved, then there is no hope of achieving perfection, because we can never, in one lifespan, you can never hit 100% perfection. Now, let's face it, God is not that cruel. He's very merciful, very kind. He's always our well-wisher. So, thank you. Last question? All right, thank you very much. Oh.
Rakshit Prabhuji was talking about 6.41 and 6.42. While I was reading, I got a contemplation, Prabhuji, in which Krishna is telling that unsuccessful yogi, he enjoys in planets of pious living entities, and he is born in righteous family and rich people. But if he continues for long practice and he is unsuccessful, then he takes a family of transcendentalists, that is a Krishna conscious family, and such birth is rare. So in this way I was thinking, like, taking birth in the family of devotees is very, very rare, rather than rich aristocratic and very pious people. So in this way I could say, like, taking to the Krishna consciousness is more valuable than taking the association of devotees is more fortunate than taking association of pious people and rich people, aristocratic people. So that was my
very
reflection.
Nice. Thank you. Thank very you. Nice observation. All right. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.